Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning, Joe. So I've been elected to come up here and say something for the Lord. Usually when I get up here, my mind kind of goes blank, and there's a lot of dead air, so bear with me. I was reading this morning, and I think it was Luke 6:27. Trying to adjust the mic because it's a little tall for me. It says, "But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy good, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful, unto the evil. Be ye there merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." You know, the Lord has redeemed us through his grace and his mercy. He died for our sins, that we may be forgiven and live in heaven with him. And we, as people, seem to think we're better than anybody else because of where we come from, or, you know, things we've been through or whatever, and we're not. None of us would be anything without Jesus and the graces he has provided for us. I mean, look at the stuff that the people did to Jesus when he was on this earth. Did he hate them? No. He showed mercy unto them. He showed grace unto them, and he loved them regardless of what they did to him. If we do good to men, do good to only men that do good to us, that is our reward. If we learn to do good to them that hate us and persecute us, then our reward's in heaven. It doesn't matter what we get here on earth. We lay our treasures in heaven. We're supposed to be merciful as our Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. On the judging part, of course I lost it. It's judging. I mean, you're going to go, if you walk into a place or you see a person, do you judge them? Do you think, oh, well, they're below me because they have no education? Or, oh, well, that one must be gay. Or that one. That one's not going to go anywhere. You know, We're selfish. We're full of ourselves. Self-righteous. We should seek the righteousness of God. Right standing with God. You know, I didn't see him, you know, when he was ministering to the people in the Word, when it tells us about in the Word, he didn't go up, oh, well, you know what? You're a whore. I don't have any time for you. You need to change that before I even talk to you. No, he saw he had an issue. He had compassion. He rebuked the spirits. And he loved her regardless. But we have a habit of, you know, judging things by what we see with our spirit, with our earthly eyes. You know, I don't know, a lot of people know that I was diagnosed with MS. Oh, goodness, it must have been 22 years ago. But let me tell you a little story about that. You know, I have been through a lot where people have assumed different things about why I've had it or what happened or this and that, you know, because most people think they know better. But when I was probably 14, 15 years old, we lived in a house that didn't belong to us. It was my great-grandmother's. And the rest of the family decided it was their turn to have the house. So they decided to take the house. But in the process, pretty much, I don't know how it happened, and it really doesn't matter today. But in a sense, they took the only home I knew from my whole entire life away because of greed, selfishness, and everything else. I became very angry and bitter about this whole thing. Vengeful. I had an aunt, my uncle's wife, who was part of the ringleaders of getting this house, who came down with MS. She had trouble walking, you know, the whole nine yards. And me and my self-righteous, judgmental self says, serves her right. It serves her right. She deserves that. But some years later, I was diagnosed with MS. Do I blame the Lord for it? No. Do I ask for forgiveness? Yes. Do I learn to walk in the grace that the Lord has given me? Yes. Do I beat myself up over the fact that I did this stupid yada yada thing? No. No. Because the Lord has saved me. He has extended grace unto me. He has forgiven me. And I look at it as a blessing because the Lord loved me enough to show me that whatever judgment I put on other people, that I will have to walk through that myself. And I love him for that. Do I go, no, you don't go around judging people because you think you're better than they are, or you know more than they are, or you came from this place or that place. No. We are all dirt. And the only reason we have a chance in this life is because of Jesus and what he has done for us and walking in his grace. It's not about us. It's only about him. And I will tell you, the things you do not forgive, the Lord will hold your sins responsible. I mean, if you don't forgive them, he will not forgive you. It says, given it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto you wisdom. For this same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured unto you. You want good things in life. You want peace, happiness, and love. And you got to learn to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you need to love your neighbor as yourself. And as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise.
Well, praise God. Good word this morning, Carrie. Thank you. It is a truth about judgment, as Carrie was speaking it. And anybody who's going to go forward in the Lord is going to learn that, typically by experience. The problem we a lot of times run into, and I think, you know, one of the points I want to share with respect to the perspective Carrie offered is this, is that a lot of times when what comes on us for our judgment of others, we often then blame God for, get offended, depart. I remember one time years ago, it was kind of a funny thing. I mean, it wasn't as, it was different than Carrie's situation, but the same problem, if you will. And that was when we ran the Eagle Radio back in the 90s, and we had our satellite broadcasting thing, and we went into debt, and it was a time that in the ministry, a lot of people, a lot of judgment was going around in the ministry. And with that judgment came a lot of dissension and a lot of disagreement and a lot of bad feelings and the like. And I remembered one of the things we had was a very large telephone bill. I mean, like $10,000 type of telephone bill. Like, so it was very large. I mean, we had numbers out there for folks and stuff like that. And I remember I said to Dave, I don't care if anybody else contributes to that. I'll pay that bill. And Dave, he didn't say anything to me at the time. It was kind of humorous. I still chuckle about it in the thing. And you know what happened? No one else paid it. How happy do you think I was about it as I was paying this off in a situation where, I mean, God was good to me, mind you. Look, if you'd looked at the time that this happened, the first 3 months of that year, was, I think I had $500 come into the law office. That's piddly, mind you. Okay, that's really piddly. I had pretty much nothing come in. And in the last 9 months, I had like $65,000 come in to the law office. And you know what it enabled me to do? It's to pay off these things. But boy, was I unhappy about the idea of paying off all of these things by the end. And I said to Davey one time, as we got down to the end, I said to him, I said, you know, nobody else is helping to pay this. And he said, well, didn't you say? Oh, yeah. I did say that, didn't I? And so, praise God. And so that point that Carrie's making, and anybody who will stand in a position of authority, whether it be as a parent, whether it be as a boss, whether it be as a minister, in each of these different situations, you will run into this. And it's something the Lord has set up for each of our goods. And to teach each of us compassion unto others and mercy and grace. And I wanted to hit on this verse 38 of Luke 6, which she hit on. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And this comes on an earlier verse here, which talked about, give to every man that asketh of thee. And I share this from the perspective, see, when we believe God and we trust Him, then we can give unto others, even out of our own necessity, it would appear to us. Even out of our own necessity. And God will measure it back. You see, Davey, when he would be preaching in a revival, he would say, Lord, pour it in that I may pour it out. Right? And you want to be free in the Lord and you want to see the Lord move mightily in your life, you got to unstop the stopper. Davey used to use the example, many instances, of the River Jordan, also known as the River of Life, which is over in Israel, and the Sea of Galilee, which the River Jordan flowed into, and then the River Jordan flowed out of the Sea of Galilee, and it flowed into the Dead Sea. Okay, and the difference between the two was that the Sea of Galilee, which was full of life, took that water that came in, and with what measure it was, what happened is, as it gave out, it kept coming in. The Dead Sea never gave it out. All right, and the Dead Sea doesn't give it out, and the selfish person doesn't give it out because, first of all, it's all about them, and second of all, they don't believe God. Okay, so they figure what they've got now, they got to hang on to, because if they give it out, they won't have any more. What's going to happen to them? But the Sea of Galilee, which was full of life, fish, everything else, and I've been to the Dead Sea and to the Sea of Galilee, and the Dead Sea, literally nothing grows in and around anywhere. I mean, you see nothing that's alive. You don't see plants for as far as you can see. You don't see anything. But with the Sea of Galilee, you see life, both in the sea and around it. Now, today I had wanted to hit on a point, and I believe it dovetails with this. Where's your songbook, love? Because today, and those who are listening online, they missed this, but we sang Amazing Grace, but we actually sang all of the verses, or most of the verses. I don't know how many verses there are. I don't even know most of the verses. I don't even know most of the verses they were singing, but I had looked at them as they were before they began today. And, you know, it begins, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. All right, so first of all, what you see in this and in the person who wrote this song, who was a believer, is, see, grace to a person who knows that they are a wretch is the sweetest sound there can be. Because it's the only thing that can satisfy. It's the only thing that can heal. It's the only thing that can bind up the wounds. It's the only thing that can provide a way of deliverance, because outside of grace, there is no deliverance. Right? Because when you're a wretch, you know that there's no hope for you, but by the grace of God. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. So what happens is you have a person here who, in writing this song, and I look at this as much like a psalm that we read in the Bible. You know, Amazing Grace is an anthem of the Gentile church that believes on the sacrifice that God sent in the form of his son, Jesus. I once was lost. That is every single one of us. But now I'm found. I remember, you know, it says, no man can come unto the Lord but the Father draw him. And the Father he's referring to there is the Holy Spirit. So what credit can you take for your own salvation? Now, I remember, I mean, for me, the fact that that was the case was extraordinarily plain, because when, as all of, I think all of you know, when I came to know the Lord, when I came up here to Vermont, I had a book on African religions in my backpack and believed that Jesus Christ and him crucified was the least likely thing to be true in the world. And I was not looking for him. How would I look for, why would I go looking for that which I had rejected? Now, Carrie was talking about judgment here for a moment. Okay. I had rejected. If you guys had been around me when I was around people who called themselves Christians, at any rate, I used to make fools of them. I was a guy who delighted in making fools of them and showing them how stupid they were and idiotic and every other thing. If you had seen me and known me and been a fly on the wall or You know, as I went through this world, you would have never thought that there was any chance that a guy like me would ever receive Christ Jesus as his Lord and Savior. You'd have never believed. And yet, I did have a sister who for 16 years had been praying for me. And that sister who had been praying for me for those 16 years, the Lord had saved me through a bunch of different idiotic, stupid things that could easily have ended up with me being dead. Any number of them. Because I was lost. I was blind. I did not see. I had no idea. I had no consciousness of the danger I was in. I had no consciousness of the fact that I was the one who was lost. What's it say? Pride blinds, right? That's what the scripture teaches us, that pride blinds. Right? I was full of pride to the fullest. And as a consequence, I could not see. I thought I saw better than everybody else, mind you. But I didn't see at all. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. On the day that I accepted the Lord, the light switch was thrown. And the day that I accepted the Lord, that which I had rejected and seen as utter foolishness. What's it say to the Greeks over there? To the Greeks, foolishness, referring to the cross. And that's really, if you want to think of it here for a moment, the term Greeks there was synonymous with those who were the worldly wise people, if you will, who thought themselves to be something. Okay, I was one of those. And the Lord in his grace, not through any deservedness of me at all, opened up my heart and mind to see the truth of his gospel. And I received it. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. That's an odd thing, isn't it? 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. People would think that's a odd thing. Because most people, you know, think that to fear is to fear God is something most people don't have. And they don't recognize the value of it. And because they don't recognize the value of it, they would never embrace it. And when I accepted the Lord as back in 21 years ago, I wouldn't say that when I accepted the Lord that I had any really significant, substantial fear of God. I wouldn't say that. I would have to say that, I mean, personally, I don't really think I did. I don't think I did. But over the years, as the Lord began to teach my heart to see my carnal man, for example, for who he is, to see men's nature for what it is. And look, this was hard. Let me just give you an example. It says, with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, right? I'll give you another example of how that worked for me. I was a guy who came from the perspective that man was basically good. Yeah, there were a few bad apples that ruined it for the rest of us. I mean, that's like a mantra out there in the world. You know, why do a few apples, especially among older folks? Okay, I mean, it's not as much of a thing that people say who are young now, but I'm 50 this year, and if you were to listen to my parents' generation, that was a very common scenario. It was a common scenario when scandals hit the country. You know, it wasn't that man was bad or evil. It was, why do a few bad apples have to run? Okay, the government's good. It just, we have a few bad apples. Now, if you're a Republican, the bad apples are Democrats. And if you're a Democrat, the bad apples are Republicans, okay? Yeah, and they both judge, right? The other. Oh, yeah, and they're great at showing us the way out, are they not? So, yeah, that's what I grew up with. And, you know, I remember, you know, when my mom would ask me and I'd say, well, look, Mom, I'm a sinner. She'd ask me why. And frankly, I didn't give her great answers because I knew I was a sinner, but I just didn't know what my sin was that much. Now, mind you, when I say that, don't get me wrong, I did do a lot of confessing of sin when I first came to the Lord. Kind of made my sister all red and embarrassed and everything, and but gave her hope she maybe wasn't the worst child in the family after she had listened to some of the things I had done. But those things were what everybody was doing, so I didn't conceive of it in the sense of truly its wrongness, I have to confess. I really didn't see it from that perspective yet. And it took some time for the Lord to teach my heart, if you will, why my carnal nature, why the things that I did were wrong, and therefore to fear Him, that I would depart from those things, that I those things would become things that to me were terrifying. I didn't want any part of, and I wanted to get as far away from them as possible so that I could do what? Cleave to Him and embrace Him and His ways. So now 21 years later, frankly, I'm still learning. Don't hear me wrong. But now I can look back 21 years later and see. And one of the ways He did that, for example, with something as simple as man being basically evil and me thinking man was basically good, is He had to teach me beyond a shadow of a doubt that man was basically evil. So He'd send me these clients. And I used to say that I should have a sign over my door which says liar's entrance. Because as soon as people would walk through my door, they would lie to me. It was an amazing thing. Now to me, the reason why it was amazing is that to me, I thought people were basically good. So when they came in and started telling me their story, I figured it was the truth. It took many years of being banged over the head with the lies for me to finally kind of get it. Now, in the getting of this, it was a getting both for recognizing how man is and the truth of God's word, but it was also there for me to get it about myself. See, the reason why I like to think that man was basically good, because I wanted to think well of myself. All right, and with that, I wanted to hold on to that belief, so it took a lot of banging. And the way it happened, it was kind of funny, is the I used to have a saying. I had this saying before I understood the significance of the saying, and this is also a common thing you'll run into out here. And the saying was this: I never met a client who had less money than me. And you know why I never met a client who had less money than me? It's because none of my clients paid me. They lied to me about what they would do, paying me. And I accepted what they said, and then I, in trying to proclaim and demonstrate my goodness, continued to serve them faithfully after they failed to fulfill their commitments. And regardless of whether they fulfilled their commitments, I was going to show them how good I was. And so I was broke. Continuously broke. Continuously no money. And working very hard at it. And so the Lord has had to work with me and teach me some things about myself and about others, and help me through this. So 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And you guys have heard that in my ministering. Yeah, I talk about how terrified, how my old man utterly terrifies me. My old man has not changed one bit. He is the same guy who 21 years ago, 21 and a half years ago, maybe almost 22 years ago, believed that Jesus Christ was the least likely thing to be true in the entire universe. He's never changed. So 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How does that work? How does grace teach your fears to, how does it relieve your fears? Well, there's a number of different ways in which that happens. One way, it teaches you, in the sense of what the Word of God says, where it says, "For God does not give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." So it teaches me how to rightly to recognize fears when they come on, and then how to exercise myself in the power of God to defeat them. So that's one way in which it does. But another way in which it does is, does anybody here fear the fact that they're going to make it? Oh, yeah. big time. Okay. Does anyone fear that the, you know, that you're just too dense, too stupid, too thick-headed, too numbskulled, too whatever you want to, you know, we can add any number of different things and stuff like that to it, to think that God's able to work through you? Oh, yeah. But you know what? You're an idiot. See, if you will believe, if you will learn what this man who wrote this song learned, what you'll learn is that, you know what? God is bigger than all of that. He is actually bigger than all of that. If he wasn't, why would we refer to him as God? Who do you think you are? I mean, who do you really think you are? You can stand up to the living God and prevent him? Is that who you think you are? If you do, you're an idiot, a freaking idiot, an unbelievable idiot, a nincompoop, a stupid head, a, I don't know, we could come up with a lot of big, funny, stupid, idiotic words to describe what that is, but the fact of the matter is he's bigger than you. He is bigger than everything. Okay, and what is his grace? Sufficient for you. So where you find peace, where you find confidence, where your fears depart is when you come to fully trust in him and his ability. Because he is indeed able. He is indeed able. Now, well, look, here we, and it says, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. And isn't that true? I mean, from the moment I believed, that grace came and has kept me through 21 plus years. Brought me deliverance. I was, I don't know, a couple week old Christian and was going back to take a nap, I think it was, and I was back there, and I didn't even know what deliverance was. I mean, I had heard of it, and I didn't know anything about anything like that. Never seen anything like that. And the Lord, just one day when I was out there, back there, I was laying down trying to sleep on the floor, if I remember correctly, and I just started a shaking and started getting free of stuff. I don't even know what I was getting free of. It didn't matter. I didn't have to know. He was setting me free of it. Praise God. And so that happened. And the Lord, while I didn't know that man was basically evil and thought I was pretty daggone good, the Lord in his grace kept me and sustained me. My credit rating got ruined. Okay, not through identity theft, but through stupidity. So I certainly couldn't go with that like freecreditreport.com guy up there singing a dance, you know, about how stupid he was and getting, you know, identity theft. But mine was out of pure, total, 100% unadulterated stupidity. But what the Lord was doing is he was teaching me the truth of his word. And I took a lot of years to learn certain aspects of that, and I'm still learning. The Lord has promised good to me. Now, that one I'd never heard before either. Megan had it crossed out because I think she didn't remember ever singing it either. But they sang it this morning because I said, hey, I want that one. The Lord has promised good to me. Is that not true? I mean, what has he promised us? First of all, he has promised us salvation and deliverance, freedom from, you know, and a sacrifice that takes away all of our sin and washes them out of God's sight, not out of man's sight. Man still sees them, right? See, that was the judgment Carrie was talking about. Okay. See, man still sees them. Okay. And of course, when you're a man, what you do is certain sin groups are worse than other sin groups. So the sin groups I got are not nearly as bad as the sin groups you've got. I can tell you. I know you. You got some pretty bad sin groups out there. Okay. But you follow what I'm saying? This is the judgment he's talking about, is people judging one another for their sin. What was the purpose of the sacrifice of God but to remove sin? Isn't that what happened with you? So who are you to then judge another for theirs? But that's what you do. Because it makes you what? Better than them. And important, right? Yeah, in your eyes, Carrie added, which is true in case you missed the implication. All right. So the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. His word, my hope, secures. What is it that secures your hope? His word. What did he say? By my word ye are clean. Right? Do you believe his word? Ye are clean. But, that's called unbelief. Are you following me? That's called unbelief. So what do? Get rid of the unbelief. His word, my hope, secures. It's by his word that we are sanctified. That means set apart for his purpose. Right? By his word. Not by anything you do. Not by anything you do. By what he did. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Okay. He will my shield. Isn't that what his promise is? And you know what's neat about the shield of the Lord? You know, it talks about take up the shield of faith. And we know that that shield of faith quenches the fiery darts of the wicked one. What are some of the fiery darts of the wicked one? The fears. Okay, that want to turn you out of the way. Mm-hmm. Right? He will my shield and portion be. Now, the shield of the Lord, the beautiful thing, is the reason why it's made of water is because it comes with water baptism. All right, and the beauty of that, see, with water baptism, you are translated out of this present world and into the kingdom of his dear son. And so all the fiery darts that the world throws at you are quenched. And that encompasses you round about. So it protects you from before and behind. He will my shield and portion be. Is he your portion? Or are you too busy trying to gather everything you can that the world has to offer? Because if you are, then he's not your portion. You follow me? If you are, he's not your portion. But if you're content with that which he has, remember we sang a song also today, delight yourself in the Lord and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Right? Delight yourself in the Lord, which basically means to make it your delight to do his will. Okay? Which is to come into obedience to his word, which is Jesus. Okay, so you make your portion with him. And then all the good things of his kingdom, because if you make your portion with him, what are you going to want? The things of the world, you're going to want the things of his kingdom. You're going to want the things of his kingdom. And anything of this world that's going to help you to carry out the work that he has for you to do in this world. All right? So he will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Well, what he's talking about here is that life here on this earth. Through many. Now, this is the one I wanted to get to as well. And this one, I love this one. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Now look at that. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Is that not true? Kaylee, is that not true of you? Jeannie, is that not true of you? I know it's true of Carrie, and she would say so anyways. It's true of me. It's true of all of us. It's true of all of us. See, in that testimony of what he has done by what? Our merit? Have we done it because we've been so smart and made all kinds of great decisions? Is that what's brought us to this point? As we've made every decision right, we've never faltered nor failed. No. What's brought us thus far is grace. Now why? So that we can continue as we have? Well, no. But let me share 2 points on that. First of all, so that we can have confidence in his ability to bring us home. Amen. But that confidence, with that confidence comes that peace. See, are you at peace? Or are you constantly in a state of being overcome by these things? See, if you're not in a state of peace, it's a function of unbelief on your part. And see, the testimony of him bringing all these things through is a testimony of his grace. Okay, what's it say? Shall we therefore sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Right? But when we look back, we can see how notwithstanding an abundance of sin, what has been more? Grace has been more. And so that ought to give us confidence in him and in his ability to complete that work he has begun in us. See, it's in that, and it's in knowing that, that you can then go forward and measure out unto others. Because you know that he will take care of you. You know that it'll be measured unto you again. Now that comes in every form, manner, shape that we may have need of. That comes in, if you extend grace unto others, you will have grace extended unto you. If you extend mercy unto others, you will have mercy extended unto you. If you extend love unto others, you will have love extended unto you. And what's neat about this is that God uses men to do it. And you know what that means for them? That means they get to experience and play a part in God's ministry. Some of them may not even know him. Megan tells the story many times of her father and how the Lord has used her father to minister unto her in accordance with this. Not because of his faithfulness, but it's given an opportunity for her to testify of the Lord's faithfulness to her father. Okay, which you know, if you know her father takes note of these things. He hasn't quite yet known what to do with these things and how to cross that threshold from dark into light. But it has been, if you think of it as a dot-to-dot picture, it's been several dots along the way that have been painting a picture of the grace of God that comes through Christ Jesus. So I wanted to share this because God is good. God is good all the time. And the circumstances and situations we find ourselves in, some of which we may not like, God is working in and through to reconcile ourselves unto him perfectly. And if we esteem the things of his kingdom better than the things of this world, then we can be in his peace in the midst of it. We can have his joy full in the midst of it. And one of the stories I've been reading of late, which I think is a good story for showing how God does this, is the story of Joseph in the Bible. I've been reading it with my children. And before we go there, just hold that thought for one moment. I want to read the final verse of Amazing Grace 2. And it says, though we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. See, when you come to an understanding of the amazingness of God's grace to you, then you can't help but sing unto him. You can't help. If you struggle to sing and praise God, it's because you don't have any real understanding of the grace of God and the grace that has been extended unto you. Because when you understand that, then it's like that dunamis power of God that just every time it comes back to remembrance continuously, it causes your heart to rejoice in the goodness and love and grace of God. And that's why John Newton here, the psalmist in this song, said, even when we've been there 10,000 years, 10,000 years later, after we've left this earth and been with the Lord in heaven, we'll still be singing God's praise and thankful that after 10,000 years, we have no less days to sing his praise. You hear me? So, folks, he's brought us thus far. Let's believe him unto the end. Let us reflect on all that he has done to bring us this far, that we can get shed of, put off, that unbelief and doubt that so easily besets us, and choose to believe him, knowing that he is indeed able. And in that, what you're going to find is the joy of the Lord will spring up in you like a well. It'll be a joy that bubbles over and is contagious because you minister that joy, not feignedly, not fakely, or any other such way, but it's something that you just can't help but share. And as you share that grace of God with others, what did it begin with? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. See, that joy that bubbles out and ministers grace unto others is the sweetest sound, the only sound that can satisfy a wretch like me. And when you are able to do that, sinners will be converted unto him. Until then, how can they? You don't even believe that which you say you believe. But when you're in that place, then the people know that you believe. And because you believe, you can ask anything in his name, and it shall be given unto you. To profit who? With all. So praise God. I won't go into the story of Joseph today. Good story, though, mind you. It's a wonderful story of the amazing grace of God. So God bless you.